Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon today? D.T. and me. Doubting Thomas, of course. A text from John chapter 20. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." I invite you to turn into your worship folder and find the sermon outline and follow along with that sermon outline as we consider our theme, DT and Me. Doubting Thomas. Don't be such a doubting Thomas. How many times have you ever, in humor or in seriousness, heard those words or spoken those very words? At a deeper level, these phrases deal with an area in each of our lives that causes us pain and sorrow. The inability to believe in something or to trust someone else. In our sermon today, we'll talk about the Apostle Thomas, the doubter. We'll call him DT. And we will see ourselves in him. That's why our sermon is entitled DT and Me. We'll hear the risen Lord speak to us when he first spoke to Thomas. And with Thomas, we will move from "I doubt it" to "Yes, Lord, I believe." Thomas, how could you doubt? You know, I never used to have any sympathy for Thomas. How could he? He had listened to Jesus' voice. He had been touched by Jesus. He had walked by our Lord's side for 3 years. How could he doubt? That's what I used to think. But today, I'm not so quick to put Thomas down. How can I doubt? How can you? Just 1 week after we celebrate Easter, just 1 week after we celebrate our Lord's glorious resurrection, doubt is our ready companion. Doubt can come far too quickly for each of us. More than we want to admit, Thomas is our middle name. Oh, we probably don't have the same doubts as Thomas. For most of us, we seriously don't doubt Jesus' resurrection. But our doubts are different. And yet they hurt us nonetheless. Our doubts are centered on things more simpler than Easter, more mundane than the resurrection. Our doubts today, aren't your doubts more focused on the here and now, in our relationships, in our finances, in our children, in our work, in our future? Be honest with yourselves and be honest with God this morning. What are your areas of doubt? What areas in your life do you have a hard time entrusting to Jesus? Because our doubts in these little things and our fears in these little things lead to deeper questions, lead to bigger questions. Questions like, "Where are you, God?" And "Why, God, why?" And "When, God, when?" Like Thomas, we need assurance. Like Thomas, we need, even 1 week after Easter, we need the resurrection gospel. Listen to the text. 8 days later, his disciples were inside the room again, and Thomas was with them this time. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Shalom aleichem." In Hebrew, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him. Did you hear what Thomas answered him? my Lord and my God. We need to see the nail prints. We need to see the gaping spear wound. We need to hear our Lord say to us, Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. But wait! We've seen such things. We have seen and heard such things just last week. And yet we doubt. Why? Because despite the resurrection gospel, despite the risen Lord, despite the Easter celebration, we just 1 week later have been looking for assurances in all the wrong places. Hey, you, Thomas, is your doubt the result of trusting in worldly institutions? Well, let me let you in on a secret you already know. Work lets us down. Government lets us down. Our church and the people within her walls let us down. Hey, Thomas, is your doubt the result of trusting in other people? Well, our spouse lets us down. Our children let us down. Our friends let us down. We let ourselves down. And when our trust is placed in any of these directions, and they fail us, and they will fail us, then doubts rush in to fill the vacuum. And we ask the questions, where are you, God? And why, God, why? And when, God, when? Hey, you, Thomas, is your doubt the result of looking for security in personal circumstances? Things like good feelings, lack of problems, constant good health, or others all around you always liking you? Well, these things let us down. And they melt away as quickly as snow on a sidewalk after a +10 day. And doubts come, and then we blame God. Where are you, God? Why, God, why? And when, God, when? Hey, Thomas, you've been looking for human solutions. You've been looking for temporary feelings. You've been looking for fleeting, quick fixes. Not at the nail prints. Not at the nail prints. But Thomas, that's not what the resurrection is all about. The nail prints of our Lord and His wounded sign do not give us that kind of insurance against the hardships of life. The nail prints and wounded hands do not promise us lack of problems, constant good feelings, never-ending affection from others. But into a locked room, filled with disciples, filled with doubts and scared to death, Jesus came and said to them, peace be with you. I am with you. Into the doubt-filled and fear-life locked life of Thomas, Jesus came and said, Thomas, peace be with you. I am with you. Into the doubt-filled and fear-locked lives of all of us today, Jesus comes and says, can you hear Him? Peace be with you. I am with you. Jesus still comes to Thomas's. Listen to the text. And so Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand, place it in my side. Don't disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, you are my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? But blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed. John writes, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing in him, you might have life in his name. This lesson is so important for us today, 1 week after Easter. Through the preaching and teaching of God's word, through his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, through the sacrament of holy baptism, through the victorious celebration of the fellowship of the Christian church, our Lord Jesus keeps coming to us Thomases today. He comes to us, as the text says, that by believing we might have life. And Jesus says, blessed are those who believe. Note, believe not in perfect institutions. Believe not in perfect feelings or perfect health or perfect relationships or a life with no troubles. But Jesus says, blessed are those who believe. Believe in the Heavenly Father who has created us and sustains us. Believe in the Son who has died and risen to redeem us. Believe in a Spirit who lives in us and creates and nurtures faith in our hearts, that by believing, we might have life in his name. That we might have life. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the life. In other places in John's Gospel, listen to what Jesus says. Listen to these rapid-fire verses. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. For Thomases like you and me, Jesus brings life, brings himself, comes today into our locked rooms, comes to us into our fear-filled houses, comes to us through our locked doors of fears and doubts, and says to us those wonderful words, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, I am with you. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. What is abundant life? Here's a few things that are included in abundant life. Abundant life is this. It's knowing that whatever life throws your way, you have a Savior who walks by your side, who will never leave you or forsake you. Abundant life is facing an unknown future with a confidence that declares, I may not know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. Abundant life is knowing, and please listen carefully, abundant life is knowing that in Jesus Christ, your worst sins are completely forgiven. And you can claim the promise of Romans 8, verse 1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Abundant life is being a part of a church family in which you are loved and cherished. A family with people you can count on to stand with you. A people that gathers with you regularly around God's Word and Holy Sacrament. Abundant life. And did you hear what Jesus promised to the disciples in the upper room? He breathed on them and said, Receive my Holy Spirit. Abundant life. It's having the very Spirit of the living God living in you by the power of your holy baptism, so that you can say no to temptation. You can say no to sin. You can say no to the lies of the devil. The Spirit lives in you. Abundant life, finally, is the ability to lay your head on your pillow at night. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection for you, and you are now able to say that little child's prayer, if I should die before I wake, I can trust the Lord, my soul to take. That's abundant life. And what should be our response then to the Lord that gives us this abundant life? We should run and not walk with Thomas to go to the place where our Lord promises He will be to greet us, to meet us, and to give us life. You see, Thomas had his doubts and his fears. But Thomas did not make the mistake too many believers are making today. Thomas did not remain an island to himself. Thomas ran to the place he knew the disciples would be gathered because there Jesus would be. And today, we run to the place where Jesus promises He will be with His disciples. Today we call that the church. For Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in My name, there I will be in their midst. Do you want to deeply know and trust the presence of God that can dispel your doubt and fear? Then come with Thomas to the place that Jesus truly is, with the other disciples in His church, so that we can bow down with Thomas and say, Lord, You are my Lord and my God. And after Thomas had met the risen Lord, what happened to Thomas? Do you know? After Thomas met the risen Jesus, Thomas was given a whole new purpose for living. What is your purpose for living? Trusting that Jesus rose from the dead and had victory over sin and doubt, Thomas lived the rest of his life serving Jesus. Although the Bible is silent about such things, church history teaches us that after this resurrection account, Thomas, the doubter, became Thomas so filled with faith, he took the gospel to India and started the first Christian church there. And there in India, instead of denying his Savior, Thomas chose to become a martyr and gave up his life for Christ and His gospel. Thomas, the doubter, no more. Jesus is risen. And Thomas served Jesus with his last dying breath. Even the threat of death could not destroy Thomas's faith in his Lord and his Savior. Jesus is risen. Death is defeated. The gates of heaven are open wide. This is the truth of Easter. This is the truth, the only truth that dispelled Thomas's doubts. This is the truth of God that dispels our doubts today. He is risen. And all that is left for us to do is to join with Thomas, with good old DT, and fall before our risen Lord and confess, You are my Lord and my God. In the name of Jesus, our risen Lord. Thank You, DT, doubting Thomas no more. Amen.